You are listening to the Word of Deliverance Church podcast. For more information or to make a donation, please visit us at wodchurch.com.
Isn't he great this morning? Aren't you glad that his mercies never fade? The scripture says that his mercies never fade, that they are new every morning. Hallelujah. So whatever was yesterday is yesterday. Hallelujah. His mercies are new every morning, and great is thy faithfulness. Hallelujah. How many know when Peter heard the sound of the rooster that morning, when Jesus said, "Peter, before the night's over, you're going to deny me three times." Peter got all worked up and said, "Not so, Lord. I mean, I'll go to the cross with you. I'll fight for you. I'm one of your gang. I got my heart set, Lord." He said, "Peter, when it happens, just don't let your heart be troubled. Just don't let your heart be troubled." At the sound of the rooster that day, probably nobody heard the sound of the rooster like Peter did. Yeah. Hallelujah. Because it wasn't talking to anybody else that day but Peter. Hallelujah. And see, you can live in your despair of yesterday. You can live in your failures. You can live in your denial. You can live in your past if you want to. Or you can listen for the sound of the rooster. You can let it be a voice of condemnation to you. Or you can listen for the sound of the rooster that says that was yesterday, but today is a brand new day. Hallelujah. I don't have to live in yesterday. I don't have to live in my past. I don't have to live in my failures. I don't have to live in those things of yesterday, because the scripture declares that his mercies, I said, his mercies are new every morning. Hallelujah. And great is thy faithfulness, O Lord. Aren't you glad that we serve a faithful God? Amen, amen. Hey, I got news for you this morning. Even when you're not faithful, he's faithful. Come on, yes. Even when you break covenant, he don't break covenant. Hallelujah. When you're ungracious, he still has grace for you. Hallelujah. When you've messed up big time, his words ring in your ear and says, "But don't let your heart be troubled. You believe in God, just believe in me. Believe in the work of the cross. Believe that I'm going to prepare a place for you. And the place I'm going to prepare for you is a place called Calvary." Hallelujah. I mean, no, Jesus is talking to his disciples about going to the cross. He's not talking about a land far, far away. He's not talking. We preach that scripture so many times, preaching about going to heaven. You know, don't let your heart be troubled. Believe in God. You believe in God, believe also in me. For in my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you, but I go to prepare a place for you, that where I am, there you may be also. And we think that's talking about, you know, in the great beyond, we think that's talking about heaven. And I believe in the beyond, and I believe in heaven. But how many know there is a greater preparation that Jesus made for us 2,000 years ago on a hill called Calvary, on the place of the cross, that he prepared a place for me. That where he is, right here, right now, there I can be also. And that place is called a place of forgiveness. It's called a place of Calvary. It's called a place of where he took my sins. He said, "If I be lifted up, I will draw," who? Who? "All men unto me." Hallelujah. Aren't you glad for the drawing of the presence of the Holy Spirit that draws us unto himself? Hallelujah. That draws us unto himself. Not anything that we did in ourselves. See, here's a great thing. As I was pondering, I guess I sang too much this morning. As I was pondering, or it's springtime, as I was pondering, I mean, Jesus from the cross, from the place of the cross, said, "Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do." Forgive who? Forgive the disciples? Forgive them all. What if they don't ask for it? "Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do." Hallelujah. How many know they just end up fulfilling the very purpose and plan of God in his life? But I serve a Savior that is so much greater than even his own suffering and even his own pain. How many know he's bigger than your suffering or your pain? Anybody ever went through some suffering? Anybody ever went through some pain? Hallelujah. Even in his suffering and his pain, his desire was not to curse or condemn, but his purpose was to forgive. He said, "Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do." Hallelujah. Yeah. Everybody standing within the sound of his voice heard the cry from Calvary that said, "Father, forgive them." I mean, oh, he's a God of forgiveness. Aren't you glad that we serve a God of a second chance? Oh, we don't just serve a God of a second chance. Amen. Thank you. We serve a God of a third chance and a fourth chance and a fifth chance and a sixth chance. Hallelujah. See, the scripture said, his disciples said to him, "Lord, how many times should we forgive? Seven times? Would that be enough? Seven times, that's pretty good amount, right?" He said, 70 times seven. Is he looking for a literal number, 490? Because chances are, if you're counting, you're not really forgiven. If you're still keeping count of it, you get up to about 480. You know, you're still keeping count. I mean, forgiveness doesn't keep account of wrongdoings. That's what the love chapter says. Love doesn't keep account of wrongdoings. Hallelujah. How many times does he forgive us? 70 times 7. Hallelujah. How many know as many times as we ask? There is forgiveness in Jesus. Hallelujah. That's the God that we serve. His mercies are new every morning. Hallelujah. He is a great God this morning. He is a great God. Don't you love him? Hallelujah. I'm going to go to Luke chapter 24 today, I think. I won't know till we get there. Luke chapter 24, and for the last series of Sundays, except for when we were away for a little bit, we've been talking about what we know as the Easter story, and I really don't even like to call it the Easter story because it's not the Easter story, just the Easter story. I mean, it's the story of all mankind. It's your story, it's my story, it's his story, history, his story. Hallelujah. It's the greatest event that ever happened in all of history. It's the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus. We talked about some of the different elements in the story leading up to the days of the cross. I'll just call it the days of the cross or the steps of the cross. And I don't know about you, but I do a lot of pondering. I do a lot of thinking. Sometimes I sits and thinks, and sometimes I just sits, but most of the time I'm thinking, I'm pondering something. Hallelujah. But, you know, I'm one of those people, I want to know the rest of the story. I'm not satisfied with just a little bit of that, you know. And so when the scripture throws in people like Malchus, I want to know the rest of the story. I want to know where you go from there. When you come to arrest the Savior, and you're part of the gang that's coming to get him to take him away, and one of his disciples pulls out a sword and cuts off your ear. And instead of him running when he's got a chance, he looks at the disciple and says, "Put away your sword. Those who live by the sword die by the sword. Don't you know? Peter, look at me. Don't you know? Right now I have the power to call 12 legions of angels right here, right now at my disposal. I have that power." But I wasn't purposed for that Peter, not my will, but thine be done. And as he stands there with the power of the very power of life and death in his hands, the very power of life and death in his tongue. I mean, no, the same God who breathed life and said, "Let there be light," and there was light. And the same God who separated the heavens and the earth reaches down into the very dirt and dust of humanity and picks up the ear of his enemy, blows it off with the breath of his mouth and the breath of his nostrils, and places it back on the side of the head of that man. And that man goes from that place. The scripture stops right there. And I'm like, no. I want to know the rest of the story. I want to know where you go from there. When Jesus literally touches your ear, when Jesus literally heals you, even in your stinking thinking, even in your sins, even in your heart, there's the heart to come and arrest him, but yet on the side of your head is a brand new ear. Where do you go from there? Do you go back as a slave to the house of Caiaphas? See, he was a slave in the high priest's house. He was a slave to the religious leaders. He was enslaved to the religious system. wisdom of the day, but somewhere somebody saw him in his need and reached down and touched his ear, and he blew breath and life into him. See, I'm telling you, once you really hear from God, once you really be touched by the presence of his Holy Spirit, you can't go back to being who you used to be. You can't go back to doing what you used to do, because the hand of the Almighty has so touched you. You may try, you may go, you may run, but somehow I think Malchus had to get a new employer. Somehow I think he had to find another job. Somehow I think when he went home, he said, honey, you're not going to believe the day I had, but I went there to do one thing, but I came away a different person than what I went. Hallelujah. He'd been touched by the Master's hand. How many in here this morning been touched by the Master's hand? See, I declare to you, you may not go, you will never go away from that place the same. Nope. Hallelujah. You got to be changed. Amen. What does Barabbas do when you're sitting in the cell and it's your turn? And you're guilty as charged. See, Barabbas was guilty as charged. He knew he had it coming. He was guilty of rebellion. He was guilty of insurrection. He'd rebelled against every system that he'd ever been in. Hallelujah. And as he stood there guilty, they came to the cell and said, guess what? This is your lucky day. What do you mean, my lucky day? I don't know. They said you can go free. That guy over there is taking your place. He's going to your cross. He's going to Calvary for you. He's going to Calvary as you. You get to go home today. Barabbas, you get to live. You get to have your life back. He has literally taken your place today. Where do you go from there? What is the rest of the story? See, our lives are too valuable to take for granted what Jesus did for us at the cross. Hallelujah. How many know he set us free from the bondage of sin and death, and we are no longer enslaved to anything. We no longer have to be enslaved to anything. Hallelujah. We don't have to live with a slave's mentality. See what? I think sometimes in the church we still live with a slave's mentality. We still think we're enslaved to sin. We still think we're enslaved to bondage. We still think we're enslaved to struggles or addictions or whatever else it is. How many know when he sets us free, he can set us free from every bondage, every weight, and what every sin that so easily besets us. Hallelujah. I mean, no, I don't want anything to hinder my purpose and my destiny in Christ, or even to slow down everything that God has in store for me in my life. Amen. How many want the best of what God has to give to you today? Yeah. Hallelujah. I want the best of what God has to give to me today. See, I stand here today in awe of where God has taken me from and where he's placed me to this day. Can anybody stand here and say, by the grace of God, that I am what I am? It's been a journey that I can say, sweeter gets the journey every day. Hallelujah. I was standing in front of the mirror this morning and that song came to me. Sweeter gets the journey every day. Serving Jesus really pays. I get so happy in this heavenly way, 'cause sweeter gets the journey every day. Oh, sweeter gets the journey every day. Serving Jesus really pays. I get so happy in this heavenly way, 'cause sweeter gets the journey every day. Can I tell you this morning, it's not so much about the destination as it is the journey. See, I think we failed to preach it. We preach it backwards, and we live all of our life waiting to get somewhere to experience heaven. And we miss out on heaven right here and right now. I mean, oh, anywhere Jesus is heaven to me. He said, I'm not trying to get you necessarily just from here to there. He said, guess what, guys? I and my Father, we're going to come to you. And we're going to take up our abode in you. We're going to live and dwell in you. And then in me, you can live and move and have your being. Hallelujah. We are missing out if we're waiting till over there to experience heaven or to experience God or to live in an abundant life right here and right now. Hallelujah. It's not so much just about the destination as it is about the journey. How many of you here in here can say it's been a good journey? Did your journey ever take a few bumps in the road? Ever take a few twists and turns? Some of y'all been on the same roads I've been on. We were laughing the other day. We went on this trip one time with our kids, and they were a good bit younger. They weren't real little, but we went on one of them West Virginia mountain back roads trips. You know, it was supposed to take you to a destination. And I'm telling you, we're going around curves and up and down hills. And I'm thinking, honey, I really hope you know where you're going. He's like, I really hope I do too. And we were expecting banjos anytime. And we were expecting, you know, just, you know, things pop out around. And I'm a West Virginia girl. It mostly don't shake me up too much. But help me know, this journey had a whole lot of twists and turns and mountains and climbs. But all of a sudden, when we got to the end of it there, the place we were looking for, it was there. Hallelujah. I mean, sometimes your dirt journey takes a few twists and turns. Doesn't necessarily mean you're on the wrong road. Hallelujah. I can tell you, though, even in my walk, sometimes I've taken a few turns that I would have had to go out of my way to get there. If I'd have just stayed in the direction that I knew to go, I'd have been at my destination maybe a whole lot sooner and saved myself a little bit of expense, gas, struggle, stress. Hallelujah. But how many are thankful for the time where, you know, we talked before about, you know, the Holy Ghost is your best GPS system you'll ever buy. Yeah. It's never affected by solar spots. It never loses signal. And it doesn't tell you to turn where in the middle of the turnpike where the embankment is, and you know that there's no turn yet. We had that thing on one time, that GPS thing, and we're in the middle of the turnpike, and it's saying, turn left, turn left. There is no left. There's a concrete, you know, whatever they call them things. There is no left. What is it? The Jersey barrier. Yeah, you can't turn left. She lied to me. Dan says, unplug that thing and put it in the back seat. We made it to Pittsburgh without that thing. How many know it would have had us taking a whole lot of turns that we didn't have to take? How many know the Holy Ghost won't lie to you? It won't take you anywhere you don't need to go. It won't lead you astray. It never cuts out. The signal's never weak or lost. Hallelujah. But he will lead and guide and direct you into all truth. How many are thankful for the Holy Ghost this morning? Hallelujah. For the voice of the Holy Ghost. Well, these people in Luke chapter 24 are on a journey. Hallelujah. We're going to start at verse 13. And they're on a road called Emmaus. Anybody know what Emmaus means? On the road to Emmaus. One of the meanings for Emmaus means yearning. Emmaus means a place of yearning. Another definition for the name Emmaus means hot springs, hot bath. That sounds good to me. Or healing springs. Or can I say it like this? A place of healing. Yep. They're heading to Emmaus, a place of healing. A place of yearning. Okay, healing. Healing from what? Where are they leaving? Jerusalem. And we'll find out in a moment what happened in Jerusalem. And behold, two of them went that same day to a village called Emmaus, which was from Jerusalem about three score furlongs, about 7.5 miles, my Bible says. And they talked together of all these things which had happened. And it came to pass that while they communed together and reasoned, Jesus himself drew near and went with them. Now remember, the last thing that we heard in the first part of Luke chapter 24 is the first day of the week, Mary comes to anoint the body of Jesus. She finds that he's not there, and she's the first one to go tell the gospel of the risen Savior. Can I tell you, the first person to declare the message of the finished work and the risen Savior was a woman who'd had 7 devils cast out of her. I say, go Mary. Hallelujah. You had a little bit of struggle in your life. There's some hope for you. Hallelujah. How many know she needed to connect with Jesus? Because the last thing she saw was a picture of gory, gruesome, cruel beatings, a crucifixion. They took his body, they put it in a tomb. All she's come to do is to pay her respects and to anoint the body of a buried Savior. Hallelujah. And if we're not careful and we stop reading there, we'll think that's where the story ends. How many know the story does not end at the tomb? Amen. The story begins at the tomb. Hallelujah. And so she goes back and she starts to tell some of them, guess what? I went to the tomb. He's not there. And so they got some questions. They got some ponderings. They're thinking, doing some thinking. Hallelujah. Anybody ever had questions before? A couple of you have. Thanks, Kelly. Me and Kelly and Chris, we've had questions before. People tell me sometimes, I know, Pastor, you're not supposed to question God. And I'm not really sure where that comes from. And I always say to them, who told you that? He said, you have not because you ask not. If you don't ask, he said, knock, seek, ask. You got questions, ask him. Anybody ever ask your dad a question? Ask your father a question? Yeah. If we can ask our Heavenly Father's questions, how many know you can ask God? Lord, I don't understand sometimes. Lord, I need to know direction in my life. Lord, I need to know what you want me to do. I need to hear from you. If you got questions, ask him. But if you ask him, listen. Give him time to speak to you. Wait for his response. See, you may hear an audible voice. You may not hear it in an audible voice. It may be in the still small voice. You may hear it in a worship song. You may hear it come from grandma's mouth. You may hear it coming from a coworker. You may hear that answer somewhere. But listen. Yeah. Listen for it. And so they talked together all these things which had happened. And it came to pass that while they communed together and reasoned, Jesus himself drew near and went with them. But their eyes were holden that they should not know him. And he said unto them, excuse me, fellas, but what are you talking about? What manner of communication are these that ye have one to another as you walk? And why are you so sad? And one of them, whose name was Cleopas, answering, said unto him, art thou only a stranger in Jerusalem, and hast not thou known the things which are come to pass there in these days? And he said unto them, red letters in my Bible, what things? And they said unto him, concerning Jesus of Nazareth, which was a prophet, mighty in deed and word before God and all the people. The scripture says they're walking and they're communing together, and in their journey, they're trying to figure out what's happened. And now Mary comes and says that he's not there. He's not in the tomb. And so they're trying to figure these things out. And the scripture says as they're in their journey, they had some questions. They had some trust issues. The scripture says, and they said, we trusted. We trusted that it was him. Now, history tells us that Cleopas was the wife of Mary, one of the people that stayed at the cross, at the foot of the cross of Jesus. History also tells us that quite possibly he was a relative of Jesus, maybe even as close as an uncle to Jesus. But the scripture says in this portion of scripture that their eyes were holding from, they could not see him for seeing him. They couldn't see him even though they were looking at him. You ever been in a situation before that you're looking to see God in the midst of this circumstance and sometimes you can't see him? Amen. Sometimes you got to look, see beyond what you can see. How many know when the servant of Elisha goes out and he's washing his face for the morning and he looks up and he sees the whole host of the Assyrian army encamped round about them. And he says, alas, my master, what shall we do? Because what he sees with his natural eyes is the whole encampment of the enemy encamped around him. You ever looked around you and all you see is despair or the enemy, or seems like on every hand there's struggle or stress or problems. And he's, what are we going to do? And the prophet simply says to him, Lord, open his eyes that he can't see. See, it wasn't that he couldn't see. It's just that he couldn't see the whole picture. Sometimes you got to see beyond what you see. Sometimes you got to look beyond the circumstance or the despair or the situation you're in right here and right now to see what God wants to do bigger and greater than what you're looking at. If you're sitting here this morning looking at obstacles, I say to you prophetically, open your eyes to see the greater picture. Open your eyes to see what God wants you to see above and beyond this temporary circumstance that you're in right now. Yeah. Yeah. Amen? Hallelujah. And so they couldn't see him. But what he says to them, one of my favorite scriptures in the whole Bible, they said, "Are you a stranger in Jerusalem? Have you not seen or heard anything that has happened here in the last 3 days in Jerusalem? Did you just get into town?" And Jesus looks back to them and says something I think very profound. Two words. He says, "What things?" See, I think he said it with a smile on his face. Yeah, what things? What are you talking about? So somebody tell me this morning, what things are they talking about? What things happened in Jerusalem? The crucifixion happened. What is it? His death? His burial? And we're not real sure about the resurrection yet, so they think the body might be stolen. What else? What other things? Tell me what happened in those 3 days. There was an earthquake. Darkness happened. What else happened? Saints were walking. People were walking through Jerusalem. What about Malchus's ear cut off? What about Barabbas? He got to go free. What about the beatings? What about the crown of thorns? What about, are you a stranger in Jerusalem that you don't know what things have taken place here in the last 3 days? And Jesus simply said to them, "Tell me, what things?" And see, you did exactly what my response to this was the first time I thought about it. I told you about the crown of thorns, the beating, the crucifixion. But how many know there's a picture bigger than that? None of them said, "Did you know Jesus was victorious over death? Did you know that he cried out from the cross and said, 'Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do?' Did you know that he took our beating? Did you know that he let Barabbas go free? Did you know that he healed the ear of Malchus? Did you know what Jesus really did in 3 days and 3 nights in Jerusalem?" See, what we point out is what we think is before the cross. Hallelujah. But the scripture says, he says to them, "What things? What things really happened?" Seriously, do you think he doesn't remember what things happened in 3 days and 3 nights in the last, over the weekend? But here's my question to you this morning. If you don't ever figure out what things he did in Jerusalem, we will still be walking this journey in discouragement and despair, trying to figure out where we go from here, unless we realize what he really did accomplish at the cross of Calvary. Hallelujah. And the scripture says, "And how the chief priest and our rulers delivered him to be condemned to death and have crucified him. But we trusted." I trusted him. "We trusted that it had been he which should have redeemed Israel. And beside all this, today is the third day since these things were done. Yeah, and certain women also of our company made us astonished, which were early at the sepulcher. When they found not his body, they came saying that they had also seen a vision of angels, which said they he was alive. And certain of them which were with us went to the sepulcher and found it even so as the women had said, but him they saw not. Then he said unto them, O fools and slow of heart to believe all that the prophets have spoken, ought not Christ to have suffered these things and to enter into his glory?" And listen at this. "And beginning at Moses and all the prophets, he expounded unto them in all the scriptures the things concerning himself." 7.5-mile sermon where Jesus starts at Moses and the prophets and the Psalms and declares to them all things concerning himself. If ever there was a sermon that I'd like to hear, I'd like to hear Jesus start at Moses and just begin to declare for 7.5-mile journey all things concerning himself. How many know everything in the Old Testament points to the work of Calvary and the work of the cross and to the purpose of Jesus Christ? Hallelujah. When Moses established the tabernacle, and they put all, if you've ever done any of the study on the tabernacle, hallelujah. Go ahead, girl, preach. Hallelujah. See, what we do is we point out all the bad things that happened at the cross. But how many know what really happened is there was a healing of Malchus. Barabbas was set free. The thief was saved. Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. The good, the bad, the ugly. The Sanhedrin heroes, Joseph of Arimathea, Nicodemus, begged the body of Jesus in the face of fear and persecution. Hallelujah. But he goes, the scripture says he talks, starts with Moses and declares all things concerning himself. Hallelujah. Maybe he starts with that little basket that's in the bulrushes and talks about the one who would live in the king's house. And yet though he was in that king's house, he left that house and went out into the wilderness to become one of the greatest deliverers that all of Israel, all the nation of Israel would ever know. Hallelujah. Maybe he talked with, shared with them about the bush that was not consumed. And he said, I am that I am. If they say who sent me, tell them that I am. I am everything that you need. I am everything that you desire. Maybe he started at the tabernacle. Maybe he said, you know that altar of sacrifice? That's me. You know that lamb that was slain from the foundation of the world? Yep, that's me. You know that altar of incense, that table of showbread? I am that bread that came down from heaven, which your fathers ate manna in the wilderness and they're dead. You know that candlestick that stands in the tabernacle? You know what? I am the light of the world. You know that veil that was on the temple? Well, the veil of my flesh was rent. And when the veil of the temple was rent on that day when I cried out, it is finished. Mercy come running out of a mercy place that nobody else, a most holy place that nobody else was able to go into. And for the first time, now God had access to man, and man has access to God, that now we can go boldly before the throne of God and receive grace and mercy. You know that mercy seat that was blood sprinkled in there? You know the very embodiment of God in the earth? That's me. Hallelujah. All of those, you know that crossing of the Red Sea? That's me. You know that promised land that they entered into? That's me. You know the Sabbath? That's me. You know the high priest? That's me. Hallelujah. How many know he fulfilled all things concerning himself from Moses and the prophets and the Psalms? Maybe he went to Psalms 23 and said, the Lord is my shepherd. You remember when David sat on the backside of the desert and he began to pen a psalm and said, the Lord indeed is my shepherd and I shall not be in want. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside still waters. He restores my soul. He leads me in paths of righteousness for his name's sake. And yea, though I walk even through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. Thy rod, thy staff, they comfort me. Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. Thou anointest my head with oil, and my cup runneth over. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. You remember that psalm? Yep, that's me. And when Isaiah declared, for unto us a child is born, and unto us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulders, and his name shall be called Wonderful Counselor, Prince of Peace, Mighty God, Everlasting Father. And of the increase of his government, there shall be no end. Yep, that's me. You know when he prophesied a virgin that should conceive? Yep, that's me. And on that night when Mary brought forth that little baby boy, he turned around and I high-fived Ezekiel or Jeremiah or somebody and said, I told you it was going to come to pass. I told you it was going to happen. And then when he goes on over and he prophesies and says, for he was bruised for our iniquities. He was wounded for our iniquities. He was bruised for our iniquities. And the chastisement of our peace were upon him. And by his stripes, we were healed. Yeah. Hey, guys, that's me. When Jeremiah preached about it, he said, Jeremiah, I want you to go down to the house of the potter, and I want you to see the clay in the hand of the potter. And he said, I want you to know that clay is marred in the hand of that potter. He said, but I'm going to make it over again, and so will I do to the whole house of Israel. He said, and then they took that money. You remember they took that money that they sold me for, and they bought that potter's field. Yep, you guessed it. That's me. And you know, when Ezekiel prophesied and said, go down to the valley of dry bones and begin to hear a word of the Lord. And as you begin to hear a word of the Lord, I want you to begin to prophesy. Hallelujah. I mean, sometimes we got to start seeing that valley of dry bones in a different order. And we got to start hearing some winds blowing. And we got to start declaring some things out of our mouth prophetically and say, Lord, he said, can these bones live? He said, I don't know, Lord. You know. He said, I want you to prophesy. I want you to prophesy to those winds. I want you to prophesy to those dry bones. And I want you to cause them to come together. I want you to begin to breathe life into the situations that look like they're dead. Hallelujah. You remember when life started to come back into all that death and dryness? Yep. That's me. Hallelujah. I mean, no, sometimes we got to quit viewing it as a valley of destruction and dryness and forsaken and begin to prophesy. What, hear ye the word of the Lord, what the Lord says. Amen. Hallelujah. If you're looking for its situations today and it looks dry and dead and forsaken and lost, I want you to begin to declare life. Declare life. Declare healing. Declare hope. You got to start pouring in and prophesying and declaring life and healing and hope and not death and destruction and despair. I mean, no, when Zechariah come back out of the temple, they wanted to name the baby. Everybody wants to name the baby. How many know when sometimes when you're in a situation and you don't know what to call it, everybody's got a name to call it. You got to quit letting other people name your babies. You got to quit letting other people speak things over your seed and over your generations. He said, we're not going to call it anything unless we call it what God calls it. And God calls it John. John's name means grace. We're not going to call it nothing but the divine hand and the nature and the grace of God. And we're going to call it what God calls it. Hallelujah. They may call it forsaken. They may call it lost. They may call it dead. They may call it struggles or addictions or finances or poverty. They may name it a whole lot of names. We're going to call it the healed of the Lord. We're going to call it life. We're going to call it God's chosen, God's purpose, and God's destiny in their life. And we're not calling anything other than what God calls it. Hallelujah. And he began at Moses and shared with them all things concerning himself. What a powerful message that had to be. We are still 2,000 years later shaking our heads and saying, man, what things really did take place in Jerusalem? Because I got to tell you, daily I'm discovering it's bigger than what I've ever seen. It's greater than what I've ever experienced. It's larger than what I've ever known. The grace and the love of our Savior. Hallelujah. Can I tell you, it's going to places that I didn't know it could float to. It's reaching heights that I didn't know it could reach. It's touching places I didn't know that could be healed. And that's the grace and the mercy and the power of our Almighty God. All things concerning Himself. Hallelujah. And they drew nigh unto the village whither they went, and he made as though he would have gone farther. But they constrained him, saying, abide with us, for it is toward evening, and the day is far spent. And he went in to tarry with them. And it came to pass, as he sat at meat with them, he took bread, and blessed it, and brake, and gave it to them. And their eyes were opened, and they knew him, and he vanished out of their sight. And they said unto one another, I got heartburn. I mean, sometimes you just got to get a good case of heartburn. Did you hear me? I said, I got heartburn this morning. They said one to another, did not our heart burn within us? While he talked with us by the way, and he opened to us the scriptures. Let me tell you, you need to get a good case of heartburn this morning. Sometimes we need that place of passion, that burning where it says, you know, I had questions and I trusted him. But Butch, it wasn't panning out like I thought it was going to pan out. I trusted him to restore all Israel. That is not the ending that I thought it was going to be. That is not what I expected from God. I am discouraged. I'm scared. I have questions in my mind. This thing did not work out like I thought. But all of a sudden, in the journey, how many, sometimes you just got to put on your walking shoes, tie them up, put one foot in front of the other, and in the journey, allow God to join you in every step. And as he joins you in the step, he starts revealing all things concerning himself. And when he does that, I want to tell you, I heard the Lord say something profoundly to me, almost in an audible voice, just a couple weeks ago. And I was stressing over something. And the Lord brought the scripture to me about Mephibosheth. How many of Mephibosheth got dropped when he was young? And so he lived in his crippledness, and his crippledness kept him from the king's table. And I was stressing over something in my life, and I heard the Lord say to me, Lisa, I will not drop you. It changed my life. He said, Lisa, I will not drop you. Justin Phillips ministered to me the first night of their conference, and he said, God has taken you to another level. That sounds good. That scares me to death. Sometimes. He said, your voice is going to be heard all over. And he said, I want you to hear this. It's going to be heard in the nations. Now, that may all sound like good things, but that shakes me up sometimes. Not going to the nations, because my heart is, Lord, I'll go, but I want to have the goods when I get there. I don't want to waste anybody's time with not knowing what you want me to do. And as I wept, I said, Lord, I will do whatever you ask me to do. And the Lord said to me, I will not drop you. Before that weekend, it was out, three different nations contacted me and want me to come. I don't know where it'll come from there. I don't know what God has in store, but I know it's bigger than anything that I can see. But I'm going to put my walking shoes on, because I got a good case of heartburn. And as I walk, I'm just going to say, Lord, whatever it is, you reveal yourself to me, because I'm not going to worry so much about the destination. I'm going to enjoy the journey. And as I walk one foot in front of the other, I'm going to trust you to take me to heights that I've never been to. I'm going to trust you to put me in places I've never been. I'm going to trust you, God. I'm going to trust you. They said to Jesus, I trusted. We trusted that he was the one. We trusted him. Hallelujah. And as he just began to share the scriptures, Cleopas, listen to me. All things concerning me. I got this. I got this. I will not drop you. And it said when he got to the house after 7.5 miles in his journey, he would have walked on, but they said, oh, no, you got to come in. Sit down with us, commune with us, fellowship, break bread with us. And when he sat at the table, he picked up that loaf of bread. And somewhere in those hands that broke that bread, there was the mark of that cross born in those hands. I wonder if anybody noticed it. When he reached for that bread of on the table, when he broke that bread and he blessed that bread and he gave it to him. And I think there was a twinkle in his eye and a smile on his face. He said, look at me, guys. He broke the bread. He blessed the bread and he distributed the bread. How many know he'd fed the 5,000 with it? He'd fed the 4,000 with it. He sat at the table with his disciples on the night before that he was crucified and said, look at me. This is my body that is broken for you. This is my blood that is shed for you. Look at me. I will not drop you. Put your walking shoes on. Get a good case of heartburn. We got things to do. And the scripture says, as he sat there, and he broke that bread
And he began to give it out to them. The scripture says all of a sudden they get an aha moment. And he vanishes out of their sight. We can't stay here all night, guys. We got things to do. We got people to tell. We got other people who need to experience this. And the scripture says, and they got up from the table. See, once they got their healing, once their eyes were open, don't sit there with it, for heaven's sakes. Go tell somebody. Peter's waiting to know. Thomas is waiting to touch the nail prints. The disciples need, go tell my disciples what you've seen and what you've heard. Hallelujah. How many know we got some good news to tell? We got some good news to tell. He said, didn't our hearts burn within us? He didn't talk like any other man. He didn't act like any other man. We should have known it was him all the time. We should have known he never would have left us or forsaken us. We should have known he's got us. We should have known he wouldn't have dropped us. Hallelujah. Don't ever lose that good case of heartburn. Where that heart, something inside of you, despite every other circumstance or situation around you. Despite what you're seeing, what you're hearing, what you're thinking, trust your heart. Trust your heart. Something inside me tells me this ain't over. Something inside me tells me I'm not finished. Something inside of me tells me it's not done. Hallelujah. When it don't look like it looks like it ought to look, trust your heart. Trust your journey. Trust your fellowship with Him. Let Him talk to you. Go on a 7.5-mile journey. Go walking through the woods. Go sit on a park bench. Go find some place where he can just whisper in your ear and tell you, you remember all those things that the word says? I got it. I got it. Hallelujah. He's bigger than we know. He's greater than we know. He's more powerful than we know. Hallelujah. And the greatest grief and disappointment of their life, they received the greatest revelation or greatest message ever told. See, you may be in a place of struggling today. If you are, you're still in a good place. Because it was in that place that they received the greatest message ever told, a 7.5-mile journey on the way to Emmaus, to the place of their healing. Amen. I mean, sometimes the place to your healing is a journey. Yes, it is. But it's in that journey you have the greatest encounter with Jesus Christ. It's in that journey, hallelujah, that you have the greatest encounter with a man named Jesus. Hallelujah. He was known of them in the breaking of the bread. And they said one to another, did not our heart burn within us while he talked with us by the way and while he opened to us the scriptures? And they rose up the same hour and returned to Jerusalem and found the 11 gathered together and them that were with them, saying, the Lord is risen indeed and hath appeared to Simon. And they told what things were done in the way and how he was known of them in the breaking of the bread. Every time that we come together and we break bread, every time we experience the Lord's body, every time we testify of his goodness, every time we hear of the miracles, every time that we exalt the name of Jesus, how many know we know more of him and experience him in a greater way? He was known of them in the breaking of the bread. So important to have the word of God hidden in your hearts. To know what the word says, to know that every promise in the book is yours, every chapter, every verse, every line, every promise in this book belongs to me. Hallelujah. I can have what it says I can have. I can be what it says I can be. I am who it says that I am. Hallelujah. Put your walking shoes on this morning. Get you a good case of heartburn, because it ain't over, honey. It's just beginning. What seems like it may be the ending for you, it's only just beginning. And if you'll trust him, If you'll trust him in the journey, if you'll trust him in the walk, if you'll trust him in your despair, if you'll trust him with your eyes closed, he'll open them to greater and bigger things. He will take you to where you need to be and reveal himself to you. See, once he reveals himself to you, it really don't matter what anybody else says. It really just don't matter what anybody else wants to call it. Because you know that you know that you know that God is doing something in you. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Stand to your feet with me this morning. I just want to pray over you for a moment. Hallelujah. I just want to pray over you for a moment. Just lift your hands for a moment in the house. Hallelujah. Wherever you are in your journey today. Hallelujah. Wherever you are in your journey today. Maybe you're okay in your place where you are. Maybe you've done walk through that place of despair. Maybe you've walked through that place where you have questions.